I want to review really what Passover is for a minute. And the scriptures, as we've talked about many, many times, everything from Genesis to Revelation, or actually to Malachi in the Old Testament, are parables and types and tropes and different ways of seeing the aspect of this one called Jesus. But most people think that the Bible, the Old and New Testament, is really a set of a handbook of the manufacturer's handbook, many people say. You go there to find the principles of eternal life and how to live and what to do if you're in trouble and all of these kinds of things. And yet, even people here still, at the core, think that. How to go there and get your problem solved and get fixed or whatever.
The Book of Incantations.
Yeah, and they make the name of Jesus a mantra.
Absolutely. It's just a book of spells.
But Jesus said something interesting. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of life or eternal life. But you fools, they are they that testify only of me, and yet you won't come unto me." He said that all the law and the prophets testify only of me. And then we know that the four Gospels show the completion or the fulfillment of all of that that was predicted in the Old Testament. And all the letters show the expression of that fulfillment in his body, the church. And the Book of Revelation is sort of an overview of all of time and space. It's always true. And a part of this mystery that has to do directly with Passover is that whenever the Bible speaks of Egypt, it's an eternal type of the world. And your true self, just as Christ's true self, was not born in the world. The true you was born from above. And then sojourned for a while in Egypt for God's purposes. That's a whole other story. And while you're in Egypt, every man tries to get to the best of Egypt or the best of the world. You have dreams and ideas and ambitions and thoughts and plans of how you're going to make it. And whatever your idea of the best is, and the Bible is called the land of Goshen. You want the best for you, you want the best for your children, you want the best for those you love. But invariably, the plagues come. And the plague's purpose is to reveal to the true you the gods that you have accepted from Egypt. All of the idols that have become part and parcel of who you are, that define your personality, that you have accepted from Egypt or from the world as your value systems. And they are innumerable. And in the mystery of God, these 10 plagues act together to destroy all of those value systems, all of those gods that you have accepted. And they also reveal that the world is on fire. And if you have eyes to see as a believer, you will look, and wherever you look, you will see that the world is on fire. And that shows you the ultimate It's the ultimate aspect of what the word vanity means. It means it's empty, it's futile, it's lost its purpose, it is without any value. And as you see that through the plagues, you see that the world is on fire, and if you have any spiritual understanding at all, then you want to, with the rest of his body, get out of the world. And you symbolically get out of the world by dying at baptism, and then you're buried. You get out of the world at Passover, but then you're buried in baptism. But what do these plagues do to you? What are they? The first plague was a plague of blood. And for the Nile River was actually essentially the only water and source of life for all of Egypt or for all of the world. And so the source of life or source of worth for the whole world is some measure of the idea of self-worth. And so the purpose of the plagues, and especially the purpose of turning the river of life into blood, is to reveal the lies of your definition of self-worth. And it becomes a stench in your nostrils. You know, for me, my idea was self-worth was brain, the mind, but it was more than that. It was my idea of self-worth was that rules are for when brains run out. And so I accepted no rules of the world. And that's why I did very well in both intelligence work and in politics. But then we've said so often that the world is the place at the bottom line of the survival of the fittest. And as long as you believe that you're fit or possibly fit, if your conditions change or if there's some deliverance or something happens, then you can be fit, then the plagues haven't done their work. You'll have to go experience the plagues again. And if you've been baptized, you didn't die, it wasn't your burial, you just got wet. What's the next plague? Anybody remember what the plague of frogs is?
It's our idea of success.
Yeah, success, the plagues were represented the Egyptian god that signified fertility or success. And what happened? The frogs came up and they covered everything. And so what the idea is that your idea of success, just as theirs, had to become a stench in your nostrils. For me, my idea of success was having enough money to be free. Whatever I do, define freedom. Have enough money to go where I wanted to, when I wanted to. To have enough money to do what I wanted to. And all of that because, and to be close to power, the power of the world. And as I've told you so often, because of all of those years that I traveled around the world and lived at the embassies, I met kings and governors, and princes, and presidents, and found out they were dumber than I was. And that really bothered me, because I always thought that there was something that they had that I didn't have. But the point of it was that my ideas of success were turned to a stench. Now, you may have other ideas of success, and if they haven't been turned to a stench of rotting flesh, then you'll have to experience the plagues again. If there's still something that you think you want to do, then go do it quickly so that you can see that it is nothing but dead frogs. What's the third one?
Flies.
Okay, so the purpose of flies is interesting. It's probably of all the plagues, it is the most interesting because the world of Egypt was the ultimate hairy world. Everything had to be in order. Everything had to be neat. And religion had to be very orderly and nice and clean. Well, the flies invaded all of the temples and all of the religious activities in Egypt to show the stench of their religion. I'm not going to go through this all again, but you all know that I believe that all men are religious. And so they just worship the stupid god themselves. And so the flies defile your religion, defile your prayers. What's the third one?
Lice.
What are the lice? What's the lice signify? It's the major attack against your own flesh. They're sand lice. They're almost microscopic. And they just cause you to despise your own flesh. They cause you to experience what Job experienced. Where he said, remember where he said, and finally in chapter 42, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Which is the signifiers of his death. Let's go to the next one. So do you understand? Anybody, if anybody is still trying to have good flesh, I mean, take an honest look at Gary and I. This is you in a few years.
Get ready.
Huh?
Get ready. Only gets worse.
And there's the murrain.
Grievous
murrain. It's better translated as grievous maureen. But the purpose of the maureen was a particular kind of disease that totally destroyed the cattle, made them ugly, made them have oozing boils and pus-filled things all over them. Well, that's the purpose again. It's another attack on your own idolatry that may still stand. The cow was the ultimate idol for Egypt, because they were in the age of Taurus, but that's another story. So,
what?
Taurus. Then came boils. Anybody remember how the boils got started?
Yeah.
Wasn't they sacrificed to human?
Right. They normally, under normal conditions, Egypt never sacrificed humans. Except in extraordinary circumstances. And they had a particular temple, I think it was at Thebes, that was done on the banks of the Nile. And they had this huge ceremony where they chose, we don't know whether they chose a virgin, but it was some person that was undefiled in their eyes, and they sacrificed that person to try to get rid of this ultimate evil god. Thantos was his name. That was causing all this problems. Does it remind you of today, when we have this great battle in especially in the Christian world between good and evil, and so you got to do stuff to get rid of evil, and it's because God is a losing. Well, God's not losing. He's doing exactly what he wants to do. But once you start believing in the idea of and judging for yourself by appearances and good and evil, then you're automatically in this road to human sacrifice. You won't sacrifice anybody actually. You don't have guts to actually burn somebody or cut their throat, but you do it internally. You blame somebody for your problems. Well, when you do that, you're in for big, big problems, because what Moses did, he took the dust of that human sacrifice and threw it in the air. And in any place that dust landed, and eventually it landed all over, is there became the same kind of thing that happened to the cattle, the murrain, to to get the boils on you, to show that you were the problem, not the person that you were blaming, or not Satan. So if you're still looking elsewhere, if you still think you're a victim in any way, then the plague of boils is to destroy that idea. Because a victim, being a victim of something, is one of the most difficult idols to ever get rid of. And if you're a victim of Satan, which their idea of Satan was his Typhon, that's right. I knew Thantos is a Greek. Everybody understand that? Anybody have any questions? Nobody here is a victim, right? You know what? You don't want it just to pick some dust up and throw it in the air and have you turn to boils.
I'm a victim, but it's not my fault.
You're a sick puppy. The seventh plague was hail. Now, this wasn't just like normal hail. They weighed, the hail was a talent, weighed one talent. One talent, according to a lot of ancient scholars, was 97 pounds. So they had 97-pound hailstones falling. And because of the way in which they fell and the atmospheric conditions when they fell, they produced fire. So 97-pound hailstone that was on fire, its purpose is to destroy your refuge of lies. Now, what are some of these lies? The main lie that it destroys is hope. Okay? So, and again, if you still have any of these ideas that we've been talking about, then Passover, you won't celebrate Passover, you'll just have a meal. You won't sing the Hallel, you just sing a song. All right, the next one was locusts. The locusts, if you remember when we studied this, locusts are like normal guys. They're grasshoppers normally, but they when they're too close together, or for some reason they get close together, and when they by touching their wings going there's a genetic change in them, and they become they go from grasshoppers to locusts. And in some of the Middle Eastern description of these locust storms, they're as much as 4 foot high. Like one and a mile or more wide, and they consume everything in their path. And this is to show you not just your own idolatry, but the human race is nothing but a single organism acting as one and totally self-seeking and destroying everything in their path. So again, the purpose of this is if you think that some other, that, oh man, I'd like to be like that person, I've got this idol. I've got this image of what this perfect person is, and if I want to be just like that person over there, or I want to have what that person has, well, what this is, the purpose of it is to show you, well, you just want to be another grasshopper, another locust. Anybody understand that? Nobody has anybody they'd like to be like.
There's a relationship between that and the idea of sacrificing something, and let studied last night about if you envy me, if you want to be like Mike, you've got to let
him. All right.
Is there also something about the fact that locusts ate everything, all the leaves off every tree?
That's what I'm saying. It's all consuming, self-seeking.
Your God is your belly.
Your God is your appetite, your belly. Your glory is your shame, for you mind earthly things. Then the ninth plague is darkness. It's really to prove to you that what you have been going through with regard to making judgments by the seeing of your eyes has been a lie. If you look at the total spectrum of light, what scientists would call light, there's only a very narrow, very extremely narrow bandwidth that's visible light. And so from the standpoint of the total available to us, there's only, it's essential darkness. And so we're not seeing. That's why we must see through. And what we see through to is wherever we look, we have to see Christ. And we see then God is all in all. There's no place that he isn't. And the last plague is the death of the firstborn. And it's when you finally understand that you have been the usurper on the land, that that this person has been masquerading as you your entire life, and that person must die. Because that person is the firstborn, just as Esau was. And it's Jacob who becomes Israel that must come forth. Now the real test of this is interesting. The real in the cosmic poker game of whether or not the plagues have done their job is if there is anything in your life that you esteem highly, that anybody else in the world also esteems highly, then it's an abomination unto God, and it means the plagues haven't done their work. This you are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. So when the plagues have finally done their work, you reach a point where you're either going to commit suicide or accept the possibility of God. Then you go through the Red Sea in baptism. Then you wait for your Pentecost. You count the Omer. Remember, Passover and Pentecost are really one feast. They're connected by the 50 days of the counting of the Omer. Essentially, there's Passover, and then there's there's really 7 weeks until then comes the 50th day is Pentecost. And again, we've talked about, I don't know how much you've studied it this year or not, but the purpose of those 49 days of counting the Omer is to come out of the 49 gates of impurity of the world. So it's a deeper sanctification, causing deeper and deeper repentance. So you finally come to the place of total and complete emptying. Not you, where you find that you don't owe your flesh, which includes your mind and your emotions and your will, you don't owe it anything. Then comes Pentecost. So that, in summary, is what leads up to Passover. I don't know if you studied plagues this year or not, but I thought it would be helpful to show you the purpose of the plagues. The plagues didn't, I mean, God wasn't mad at Egypt. He didn't give a flip about the world. He was upset that his people had accepted the gods of the world, the value systems of the world, that they esteemed the same thing that the world did. So that's, if there's anything that you still esteem or think highly of, except God, you've got some more plagues to come at you. You can't run from them. You can run away from here, but the plagues are going to chase you. It's a shoe-in. It's a guarantee. You've already heard too much. Everybody understand perfectly? You any questions? You understand perfectly.
I was thinking a lot about the relationship of the plagues to leaven. They produce kind of the same.
Yeah, there's only one story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in each case, the, that precedes the revelation or the coming of Christ or the without him.
It's to destroy everything, but yeah. All righty. Take it, big guy.
That's the most upset I've ever seen.